Today we've got Jeff, and we are going to have a special guest. Just going to kick it over in just a moment to Sam Knight. Sam is one of the hosts of the District Sentinel Radio, and he and Sam Sachs have been doing the unenviable work of covering Congress. So we're going to kick it to them in just a minute. So, but before we do that, I wanted to give you a quick little... more information about our programs. You can find Good Morning Comrade online at a couple places, actually. WHIV LP New Orleans is our usual Tuesday show. You can listen to that on WHIVFM.org/listen, or you can listen on 102.3 if you're in the New Orleans area. You can also get more information about our show on goodmorningcomrade.com. Which is where we have all of our really cool stuff. You can check out our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter. Our Twitter is at Comrade Morning. That's sort of like the central hub of where you can get all the information about that. And you can also follow me online on Twitter at Eminent Prof. So without further ado, we're going to kick it over to you tonight. All right. Good morning, comrade. We have Sam Knight on the line. What is up, Sam? How's it going?
Going all right. It's going all right. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. How's D.C. these days? I haven't been back up there in about 3 years.
Well, it's an interesting time to be here. I guess there's always something going on here, something scummy. But there are a lot of grim faces. Uh-huh. Around, I think a lot of consultant class people around town realize that with Bernie being the clear front runner in the Democratic primary, that they're losing their grasp on things.
Yeah, it is. It's got to be. I don't know. It's got to be at least fun to watch, right? Like if you see it on TV,
big time.
I can only see it like from the TV perspective and sort of like. When you see Chris Matthews going and talking about how Bernie is like, smashing through the lines of France, like he's Germany, like how badly do they want him to be a Nazi? You know what I mean? Chuck Todd's calling Bernie supporters brown shirts and all that other stuff.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're obviously lashing out. They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea how to deal with this. It's not like people on the street around like Farragut North are like breaking down in the gutter, but I feel like you can see it written on people's faces that their time is passing them by and they have no idea. And in a good way, in a good way, like, right. Like we've seen.
Yeah. The right people are scared.
Yeah. Right. Over the past few decades, we've seen all sorts of marginalized people or at least people lower down on the rungs of society being told that, you know, they have to find a new job. They have to, apply to low income jobs if they want welfare payments for their kids to feed their kids.
Right. Yeah. You're not covered for health insurance.
Right. Like all sorts of people over the past few decades have just been, you know, given the raw end of the deal by this class of people. So it's really nice to see, the fear of God on their faces.
right. And then you get to also cover a lot of this stuff with the Sentinel too, right? So you see any kind of like difference in how these fools are behaving in Congress, like based off a lot of this primary stuff?
I mean, the Republicans are definitely freaking out, like noticeably, like bringing up socialism in a melting down sort of way whenever they can, and it doesn't it like their tone is much more desperate
Yeah, their
than
old bread and
they
butter's falling
were.
apart.
They look like they really regret like 8 years of calling Obama a socialist, and they kind of like the look on their face is like, oh shit, maybe we should have reached across the aisle when he was offering.
Yeah, right,
And
exactly. Like they kind of like created this monster that they can't stop, and now like everybody's just mad, and everybody's actually doing the organizing that comes along with it. You know,
yeah, no,
if like
that's right.
regular working people would have just like eaten shit, like it's been happening since, you know, time immemorial. You know, we can curse, by the way. This is gonna be the podcast release.
Nice.
But yeah, if people just, you know, continue to eat shit like they always kind of, well, not always, but you know how what the like they want you to do, then they can just do it forever. You know, if they're not fighting back, you can do whatever you want to people.
Yeah, and I think for similar reasons, that's why you see Democrats melting down and all the establishment Democrats throwing their weight behind someone like Bloomberg.
Yeah. Oh.
And they, let's see, they, yeah, I mean, they're terrified by the new wave of mass organizing
Yeah.
and people approaching politics a different way. And I think you really see that in their meltdowns about like the Bernie bro stuff
Yeah.
and Bernie supporters being rude online. 'Cause like,
Worst of crimes.
like if that's the worst that's going on, you should be thankful. 'Cause like, but anyway, that's clearly their sort of reaction to people, getting together and talking amongst themselves and sort of saying, hey, we don't have to put up with this shit.
Right, yeah. They just don't want to ever have to deal with anything ever. They don't ever want to be bothered, and now
Never.
they're being bothered with something. It's like it's actually an existential threat, and they don't know what to do about
Yeah, we're crashing the set of their West Wing fantasy, and it's
it. Right, yeah. Right, exactly. Cool. So let's make the best of this and just crash the shit out of it. And I mean, like seriously, Bernie he can win this thing. And like he's actually probably the
yeah.
favorite at this point. He just won Nevada. I mean, he won Nevada big. I think they just closed, like finished counting everything, and he won like over 50% or something like that at the end.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's gonna win in South Carolina. I think Joe Biden still has a pretty good shot of winning, but it's gonna be close. And it's the last race without Bloomberg, and Bloomberg is gonna be splitting the center vote. That
Yeah.
can only hurt Joe Biden. And we still, I don't think, have really seen polling from South Carolina after the Nevada caucus. I'm sure Bernie is going to get a huge bump for the absolute resounding victory, the crushing victory,
Yeah,
and
absolute
just
destruction of everyone else.
and anecdotally, I think you're seeing a lot more of the more liberal, like people more to the center of the party. I'm not saying centrist necessarily, but people more to the center.
Yeah.
Coming around to Bernie and saying like, you know what? He's got the movement. It's impressive. And the people who are melting down about him are like, honestly, just hysterical.
Yeah. And
Like they're just having tantrums, and it's just like literally nonsensical.
yeah, and when you see those people kind of coming over, like you can see like that happens when because they don't want to be on the losing side. People just don't want to be wrong, right? Like so they'll
Right,
just like
right.
jump into like whatever's popular or whatever's good or whatever's winning. So that means that's an
You
indicator
know,
that
and
people think that we're going to win, or that like Bernie is going to win the primary.
I obviously there's a lot of time between now and the end of the primary, and then there's even more time between the end of the primary and the general election. I'm not trying to count chickens before they hatch, but
Right.
I'm beginning to worry about how much of Bernie's agenda will he actually get done.
Right.
And that's not to say that, that's not to say that people who support Bernie believe that with a stroke of the pen he's going to create single payer or anything like that, or that the Congressional Democratic Caucus will suddenly agree with him on that. You know, he's teaching us, or not teaching us, but his brand of politics is people getting involved in the struggle. And
right.
to a certain extent, I mean, to a huge extent, him winning would just be like step one,
mm-hmm.
you know. And but I guess the point is that that's in my own mind. I'm starting to worry about that. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I really do think he can win this thing. I think he can win in November too, big time.
Yeah, and you're thinking ahead, like that's the thing you have to worry about right now, because like if you don't start thinking about that, even though you do have to be mindful, like still go canvassing if you can, make phone calls and
right.
do the texting and give your, you know, $27 if you can still do that, do all that stuff and start thinking about what's the next thing. Because if you just like there's an order of operations that can be taking place here, and we have to be working our way and
right.
thinking our way through it the entire time.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But the point is, yeah, I mean, the point is, it's that, you know, it's good news that we have to genuinely worry about it.
Yeah, this is possible. you would have thought
yeah.
that, like, you know, 5 years ago. And, like, can you imagine, thinking, like, 2014, thinking that, like, Bernie Sanders might win on a platform of Medicare for all and, like, supporting unions? Anybody.
And, you know, when I was a lot, like, in 2014 or 2013, probably 2014, but who cares really? I was blogging for Washington Monthly, and Bernie was making noise then about him, about running for president. And I was super enthusiastic. I wrote a post. I'm on the record of being one of the early Bernie bros saying he should run. And, what was I going to say? In 2016, when he did run, even then, I didn't really think that he had a shot of winning. And I don't think he ran his campaign thinking he had a shot of winning.
Yeah, it was a protest campaign.
Now, clearly, that is not the case. He's got a real shot at winning, and he's acting like he's got a real shot at winning. And that's not to say that, you know, I'm not trying to denigrate how he ran his campaign before in 2016, because, you know, he was always doing it as like a movement thing and
right.
to see how far he could take it. And contrary to the neurotic shit pit of liberal skulls, he did try really hard to get Hillary elected.
Yeah.
Because Hillary fucked it up. Now Bernie has a chance to take the movement he built in 2016 to the next logical step.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's stepping in to try and do everything that she can to stop it. Like, she did that. I'm a sick person. I watched that like entire Howard Stern interview. Just like,
oh God,
wow. This is just like, I don't know. She just did not miss an opportunity to just take shots at Bernie. And she's been continuing to do that. They need to find a place to just like put her that'll shut her up. Actually, maybe not, because it's been helping. It's been making things better. Like, people, like when these, like, you know, when these neoliberal people like attack Bernie, he just gets stronger.
Yeah, and I think even Hillary, you'll probably see her come around if he wins the nomination.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, she's doing it now because she thinks it can like help his adversaries in the primary, but clearly it's like it's either having no effect or the opposite effect.
Right,
and I'm not convinced. Like, you know, a few months ago I tweeted that like if Bernie wins the nomination, that Bloomberg will like he'll fund a Hillary third party candidacy.
Yeah.
And
or like he'll give like the he'll max out to Tulsi or something.
I mean, I still see that happening, but I also see either that happening or Hillary just being like, you know what, you know, vote for Bernie, like, just because we need to get
yeah.
Trump out of there. And
like, she's got a gun to her back.
Like, whatever I feel about Bernie, it's not as bad as Trump's Supreme Court picks. Although maybe she would probably would rather have four more years of Trump than and Bernie, but I don't know.
She can't say that, though. She can't, like, be publicly out, like, on the record of that, because that would just kind of destroy everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess she still has, like, a nominal legacy to worry about, and, you know, people already dislike her. I think she would win back a lot of goodwill if she bit the bullet and was like, you know, vote for Bernie. That's not to say I think his campaign should seek out her endorsement.
No, absolutely not. Don't waste your time.
Absolutely not. But, you know, if she does, I think they should, like, accept it and thank her and stuff. And, you know, maybe do a video with her, give her some convention time. I don't know, like, you know.
Yeah. They'll give her a job.
Of winning votes in a general election, there are worse things you can do. But, like, yeah, obviously, I do abhor Hillary Clinton, and and we could live without her, and Bernie absolutely does not need her to win.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Let's move on from that, because it's just
sure.
So you want to talk about the coronavirus?
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't want to talk about the coronavirus?
Of course I do, but I just wanted to make sure that you're on board with it. So go ahead and set us up with this. What's going on? Coronavirus recession of it or something?
Yeah. Well, so the stock markets today opened just fucking in a fire sale.
Yeah.
And the indexes were the major indexes.
Line went
in
down.
New York. Yeah. Line go down. It ended up down like 3%, like seconds or minutes after the opening bell.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's roughly what the closing bell was. I mean, basically it's, whatever problems the U.S. economy has are just going to come fucking straight to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, China is a much bigger part of the global economy than it was when the SARS epidemic hit.
Yeah.
In what, 2003, 2004.
Something like that.
And it's also the coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever. It's not hugely deadly, but I think the fatality rates are high enough that it's freaking some people out. And, you know, China's manufacturing base has hit really hard.
Yeah.
They are putting all sorts of emergency restrictions that is just hammering all kinds of U.S. companies that are now heavily dependent.
Right, yeah.
On
China.
Just
shutting everything down. All these, so it's almost like that game, what was it, Pandemic or something like that?
Yeah.
Where the disease is, like, spreading out.
So it's you know, Trump is obviously running on the economy. The economy on paper,
mm-hmm,
is doing about as well as, like, a shitty neoliberal economy can do. But as we all remember from the Bush era, that usually means that trouble's around the corner.
Cause, right.
Because people have been throwing around cheap credit,
mm-hmm,
you know, to artificially inflate the bounty,
yeah,
that the labor market is producing right now.
Exactly. They're commodifying our labor, the fruits of our labor.
Yeah, but and retail is already struggling, right? Like, no one can compete with Amazon, and Amazon is just fucking just devouring everything in its path, and even Amazon,
yeah,
is taking a hit. Amazon stock was down like 5% today. and even before this, and I think partially because of the Amazon effect, because corporations, their competitors are struggling with how to compete, and then on top of that you have a lot of money floating around the financial system because of the tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
So you have right now, over the past few years, credit has loosened, corporate debt underwriting has just, like, the standards have deteriorated.
Right. Meaning just that, like the housing crisis.
Right. Like in the housing crisis, like, they don't care if your underlying asset is shit. They'll give you the loan.
Yeah.
Whatever. Because there's just, the interest rates are low. Money's fucking kicking around. Rich people have so much money, they don't know what to fucking do with it.
Right.
And so even before this, right, like even before this, the market for corporate debt was seen as sort of a weak point in the economy. And that sort of was brushed aside when the Trump administration and the Chinese government announced, you know, like de-escalation in their trade war.
Uh-huh.
And people thought, oh, like, you started hearing things from like Goldman Sachs saying like the economy is now recession proof. It's like, hang on, I've heard that before.
Line will go up forever.
Yeah, I wonder what stocks they're shorting.
Right.
Retail is probably what they're shorting, and even now, probably basing some of that on Amazon. And even now, Amazon is getting hammered because as a country, we're just at the mercy of Chinese manufacturing.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow, that's a really interesting. Yeah. So we're just totally fucked because if we're not dealing with China, then we cannot run the U.S. economy because we've just outsourced everything.
The good news is that we obviously, a recession is going to happen at some point, and we need it to start happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more time it happens before November, or the sooner it happens with respect to November, the better of a chance we have for a future as the human race.
Right.
So
because we need to totally change the economy.
It seems morbid to sort of cheer the idea of a recession, but when A, it's going to happen anyway, and it's probably going to be bad when it does happen, and B, you know, the effects of it happening will be mitigated under a Sanders administration and under, you know, with as few Republicans in Congress as possible. Like, it isn't all bad news that it's happening now.
Right. Yeah.
But it is happening and it's spreading. You know, Italy has just reported a bunch of cases. And obviously, Italy is on the other side of the world from the epicenter of the disease, where it started in Wuhan in China, and so it's spreading all over the world. It's in Iran. There are obviously dozens of cases in the U.S. South Korea has a few hundred cases now.
Oh wow!
And so everything is coming to a head here, and it's pushing that line down, and.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it can only get worse now for the time being because of how the disease is spreaded and the reaction to it and the general state of the underlying conditions in the economy.
Yeah, it's just like a compound, like a snowballing
economy
effect.
And also the Chinese economy, you know, like China, I think, has been able to paper over structural problems they've had for a few years. This is going to make it a lot harder.
Yeah. I'm just sort of like thinking of what would the sort of like response be like when this shit actually does start impacting. It seems like it already has, like line already going down, but when it actually
line already going down, we're gonna start to see it when big corporations start reporting their first quarter earnings.
Yeah.
Then you're going to see the line go down even more.
Line's going to sink.
It's a line go down causes line to go down.
Yeah.
And it's a what's it called? It's negative reinforcement, symbiotic relationship, et cetera.
Right.
Like
vicious cycle type shit.
Yes, vicious cycle. Yes, fewer, lower future revenue is an indicator that that you should sell any sort of financial asset you have related to that company, and that will cause probably exacerbate their short-term costs, which may as well mean lower future revenue and the line go down even more.
Right. Damn. That's pretty, I mean, again, it sounds pretty bleak, but again, you say it's like an opportunity in a sense to actually restructure the entire economy. Like, especially if, you know, Sanders wins here, it gives, you know, it basically gives you an opportunity where the capitalists in charge are not in as powerful of a position because of the way that this sort of thing falls out before. Right.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. It certainly, like, a recession certainly weakens the hand of labor at the negotiating table. But in the context of a national election, the second and third order effects will probably strengthen labor's hands given the timing of all this.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, assuming that it does help Sanders, which I think we all know it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Trump can't run on it. And then what is he running on? You know, building a wall again?
His entire thing is
look at the
extent that he has a convincing argument is, yeah, look at the economy. The economy's doing okay.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
And even though that's bullshit.
To a certain extent, he's right, but it's all tax cut.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Cocaine, casino shit, and it's obviously, you know, people are still struggling. Like, the best version of this economy still sucks shit for 90%, 80% of people, 75% of people.
Right. Exactly. Whatever. Yeah. Like the wealthy will just, you know, they get all the money. The working people, the regular people in the world, they work and work and they just have to work more. That means that they're working more and more of that money is getting taken from them. Or, like you were saying before, that these sort of balloons are being created and they're sort of being like passed along to one another for profit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So, I mean, it's something that's completely unsustainable and it needs to come down. So, I mean, one of the, you know, this could be potentially that opportunity.
It's the opportunity that President Obama squandered in 2008 when, when they were too afraid to spend too much on the stimulus because of how it looks in the press or whatever.
Right. And they were afraid to actually, like, do anything to the people who did the crimes that had any teeth. Or didn't do anything at all. They didn't even, like, get a stern talking to, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They just kind of, like... Well, we all get in a room. How are we going to save you? You know, how are we going to save this system?
Don't do it again. Wink, wink.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be regulating yourself going forward, but strike two. Okay.
Yeah. Strike two and a half.
Strike two and a half. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, exactly. So anything else on that coronavirus or in the specifics and how it's impacted the U.S. economy? Anything you want to, like, kind of, like, dial in on that you didn't touch on?
No, I mean, you know, I don't think I have anything more to add.
All right, cool.
Other than keep an eye out on the keep an eye out on that market. Line go down.
Line going down. Line go way down.
Especially, keep an eye out on retail. I think retail and energy. Both of those are, I think, headed for some choppy waters.
Yeah. How so? Like, why?
You know, retail people, other companies, like I said before, they're having trouble competing with Amazon. And, I think we're seeing, my layman's prediction is that online retail is sort of is going to have the same impact on a lot of neighborhoods and areas that deindustrialization had on entire communities when the nature of the economy changed it just was devastating to the entire communities. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that happens. I mean, to a certain extent, it's, you can't contain it to certain parts of the country. It can't be contained to like the Rust Belt or the textile industry in the South or whatever. You know, because we're talking in a really general sense here about retail, the retail industry in general. So, you know, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic in that a lot of the people, well, a lot of the centers of power that hollowed out, you know, the industrial communities, they are now, I feel like they, the chickens are sort of coming home to roost because, you know, their retail economy is headed for, headed for
the end,
you know, the end. I mean, that's my general read on things. And, capitalism is grim, and the only way we can stop this is by stop pretending that the market is anything other than a few fucking sociopathic rich people trying to strip the copper wire out of everything.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, even like since retail and all this other stuff is such a huge part of the economy, and like, when you sort of like think of that, these are not great paying jobs for the most part already, and they're like, sometimes people have like two and three of them, right? And then now you're gonna just take that away, and they got nothing. Go ahead.
And also, you know, the broader structural impact that it could potentially have, where, you know, city centers where, you know, commerce is a central part of life, suddenly that is, the rug is sort of pulled out from under entire neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just have like rotting structure and like, you know, big stores where places like fucking, you know, Marshalls and other retail stores. I don't mean to pick on Marshalls. I was just at a Marshalls a few weeks ago, and they're having all sorts of clearance sales, and I was thinking, oh damn, this is you know,
RIP.
It's not a good sign. You know, stores like Best Buy,
they
can't compete with Amazon. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right. The closest thing that can compete is like Walmart.
And that's not to say that they shouldn't, because Amazon benefits from all sorts of corrupt tax breaks and fucking grinding their workers to the bone,
right?
And all sorts of other shit. As far as I understand it, a lot of their competitive advantage comes from like logistics, which they basically like copied from the military anyway.
Yeah, or they, like, they did the thing where they just, like, used, they still kind of do, but it's not quite the same. They have their own trucks and shit now, but they would just, like lean on the Postal Service and be a really shit, like a very shitty deal where they would just, like, put people out, like, with their big giant boxes all the time.
Right, right. Like, Amazon is, like, to the extent that they're innovating anything, they're not really.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fucking ruthless, you know?
Right. They're just the most ruthless.
And our system is so corrupt and malleable that a guy like Jeff Bezos can just come in and impose his will.
Yeah. Yeah. And workers just have to deal with it.
We need a Bernie Sanders to put him in his fucking place.
Yeah. We don't need any Jeff Bezoses. These people are absolute Bloombergs, and you know, I mean I hate Bill Gates, but him and Bill Gates and like Eli Broad are the ones, because I'm a teacher, right? They're the ones that are always just like throwing money at public education, and just, you know, they recently bought like the state school board. They just kind of sunk in like $16 million into this, you know, but a race that nobody pays attention to, and they just absolutely rolled it up, and they have to own the whole thing now, basically.
That's ridiculous. I mean, this is all just because, like, we don't tax passive income in this country like we should.
Yeah.
You know, like, these people should just be paying their fucking taxes.
Yeah. And, like, the only, like, in the state, the Louisiana Democratic Party is absolutely just, you know, they're total collaborators in this in a real way. Because, I mean, the only option that we were given, like, kind of to do any of this stuff is basically, like, well, if we need, this is all the more reason we need to reelect John Bel Edwards, right? Who won, thank God, because he ran against two Yosemite Sams. But, like, no offense, Sam. But it's just that, like, you need to get this, you know, you need this Elmer Fudd on your side or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a really stressful election for me. And a bunch, well, actually, there was something that was really cool, though. A friend of mine ran for state agriculture commissioner. And she got, like, over a quarter million votes, Margie Green. She's the best. She's a DSA member, too.
Oh, nice.
New Orleans. Yeah, she's, pretty like, chill. She's super cool. And, but, I mean...
I guess it is pretty bleak when you, like, just the political situation in Louisiana where you find yourself, like, happy that a guy like John Bel Edwards did okay.
I mean... They was basically running against like the guy that got supported by Trump and the guy that did not get, like, it was two Republicans because we run our primaries like complete lunatics like California does, and so basically it's like everybody runs at the same time, so like it's the primary and the runoff at the same time, and if nobody gets 50%, then there's a runoff. It's wild,
right.
It's a wild time, and it kind of like creates these situations where. People will run without a constituency, but they'll still draw votes away from like what they don't have united opposition. You often have scattered opposition of like a lot of Democrats who just decide they're going to throw their hat in because they want to stop this. And you have, you know, usually one of them becomes the like front runner, but they get drained enough by sort of like by these other people who are running against them at the same time in this mixed primary. That they lose. I mean, they'll get like, you know, 30% of the vote, and then Republican will get like 60% of the vote. It's a crazy state.
Yeah, I mean the situation in D.C. is pretty shitty too. I mean, our mayor just endorsed Bloomberg, and you know we have a problem on the opposite end of the spectrum, which is that we're a one horse town, We see that dynamic in a lot of cities where the Democratic Party is the only game in town and they just basically act as right wing as they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually on non-economic issues, they'll be okay. But obviously economic issues are like a huge fucking deal.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like saying,
you know, already saying 50% of things we're just going to be right wing on, and it's like, great, thanks guys.
You want to make the minimum wage in Louisiana $9 an hour? Are you insane? That's the situation we get. But y'all even have like local y'all can get just vetoed by Congress now though, right?
Well, I mean that's always been the case that we've been that Congress has wielded their veto power over DC. They haven't done it as much in recent years. I think they've gotten marginally less cruel on that front. But yeah, I mean they certainly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean we have to worry about our own politicians using their veto power because we passed through a ballot referendum. We improved the minimum wage system. We tried to abolish tip minimum wages in restaurants, and that was overturned by the city council and the mayor. So
they didn't need
any help from Congress doing that. And naturally, the ballot initiative had the highest level of support in poor like. You know,
places where people had that kind of job.
Yeah, exactly. In poor communities, mostly communities of color, black communities in wards 7 and 8. And yeah, our mayor, our Bloomberg fan mayor, decided to that it was unacceptable.
Yeah, didn't Bowser come out like for Bloomberg? Really, I can talk about Bloomberg. I did 3 hours on Bloomberg like 2 weeks ago because I had like a live show that I was doing, and then I had like my regular recording, and we usually like stack them like two shows after another. But I just talked about Bloomberg for all three.
Yeah,
I'm just so furious
like
about this
like
shit.
Like you were saying, as an educator, you've got a lot to talk about with him, and he gave I think it was a $4 or $5 million donation, air quotes donation,
yeah,
to the DC public school system.
Oh wow, thanks
and
for that.
There was some attachment about curricula. I think local reporters are right now trying to look into how that actually like unfolded on the ground now that he's running a presidential campaign. It's in the news or whatever.
Yeah. He's
so hopefully we'll get some reporting on that over the next few weeks.
He just controls mayors. Like that's the crazy thing too, is that like all these mayors, I think I would not be surprised if LaToya Cantrell in New Orleans like decided to back Bloomberg or something.
Yeah. And he, the New York Times did reporting on this, which is that, like, in when it was clear he was thinking about running for mayor, he increased his charitable giving, like, exponentially.
Yeah, that's
and
a weapon.
It's like what does that say about all his previous giving? Right, like he clearly sees this as a vehicle to peddle influence, and the proof of that is how he step that up when he was running for president, right? It's so fucking cynical.
It's naked too. Like you just see it. It's right there, and it's just the people who report on this just kind of put their fingers in their ears.
Yeah,
I guess that's part of why. I mean, we do have like a developing, I suppose, like left alternative media. And our show, I think, is a kind of a part of that. And the Sentinel is a part of that, too.
Yeah.
Y'all put out shows just about every day now. It's right. That's great.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And you want to talk about the Sentinel a little bit?
Yeah. So we do a daily newscast. We do policy watchdog reporting on the federal government. So we keep an eye on inspectors' general reports and other sort of watchdog reports coming out of federal agencies. We keep tabs on what's going on in committee hearings on the Senate side and the House side, and generally whatever's going on C-SPAN, whatever is published in the Federal Register, we try to keep our eyes on that and just do a daily news show reporting on what's going on in D.C.
Yeah, that's all. And y'all do haikus.
Yes, we do. We write haikus for our subscribers, our $5 Patreon subscribers. They get haiku and they get to participate in our Friday show, our garbage can.
Oh, yeah, the garbage can.
Where we nominate the worst takers of the week, and our subscribers vote, and the worst one gets thrown in the garbage can. And of course we read out the indictment. It's like a trial of
6 people, and one of them like it's almost like a cross between a reality show and a trial.
Yeah, I mean we aggregate all the people that our listeners hate, and we read the indictment like against them, and there are 6 of them, and then the worst one goes in the can.
Yeah, cool.
And we also are doing a weekly morning news show on Means TV starting soon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So keep an eye out.
When does that start?
Means Morning News. It should be starting. It was going to start this week. I think it's going to start a week from Thursday is when it should start.
Oh, cool. You're going to be working more.
When our first show should be.
Yeah, y'all going to be working more, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. That's good. Well, yeah, I guess if there's anything else you want to talk about, we can cut it off if you'd like.
Well, didn't you want to? Well,
oh, we can.
I mean, it was. You brought it up.
Okay.
I'm not like dying to talk about it. But the crazy, was it Crazy Mike?
Mad Mike Hughes, one of the great flat Mad earthers. Mike. Yeah, one of the great flat earthers. One of a real legend of the game. He, you know, spent a lot of his time trying to prove that the Earth was flat. You know, blasting himself up in rockets just to make sure that there's no curvature that you can see. He died over the weekend on the same. I remember because the same day, Bernie won Nevada. Mad Mike crashed his steam rocket and died, which is just, I don't know. It is what it is. You know, the guy's a total weirdo or whatever.
I'm kind of curious as to like what his background is like, you know, because it part of it does seem like a little bit of comeuppance where like a rich dipshit was trying to like a rich eccentric dipshit was like, you know, I bet if I spend enough money on rockets, I can prove the Earth is actually flat.
I'm going to have to look that up. I'm looking it up to see like how rich he's listed as a daredevil according to Wikipedia, but he was a limousine driver and a daredevil known for building self steam rockets. And yeah, he decided.
Well,
to just...
you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I had the black pilled sort of reaction, I guess.
Yeah.
His death, like whatever, like R.I.P. to a real one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was mine.
But I just find it hard to get too jazzed up over this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Just it is what it is. Anyway, well, thanks.
It would have been funnier if he was like if he went to like some desert to prove that like climate change was fake, and then actually like, you know, fucking died of dehydration out in the desert to prove it. That would have been funnier.
That would have been a lot more like a lot sadder to watch, I suppose. Like the video, like I think there was a video of there was a video of the rocket crashing, and that's pretty fucked up. but a video of someone like dying of dehydration in the desert might be hard to watch.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have streamed it in the scenario
no, maybe not.
That I had it in my mind, but yeah, it definitely would have made for as viral of a video.
Right. It would have to be like in fast motion or something. All right, where can people find out about your stuff?
Go to we have a SoundCloud channel, Sentinel SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. We're on basically all the podcast apps, Stitcher, TuneIn, I believe. If we're not, write them angry emails and tell them why. Ask them, hey, what the hell happened? And go to Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel. Give us your support.
Yeah.
And
we're
out there.
Yeah, you also get to be in the March Madness tournament, which is coming up, right? Y'all doing it again?
Oh yeah. So we do usually do that where
everybody puts in a card for their bracket pool, and I win.
That's right. We usually do it where you can win the naming rights to our studio, and it's just fun with us and our listeners, and we do a March Madness pool, no cost, and you get to name the studio, and I'm sure we'll do it again this year, but
cool.
If we don't sue me.
Anyway, and you're on Twitter at Sam Knight.
Yes. Sam Knight 4.
Sam Knight 4. That's right. I forgot about because
yeah.
What was the last?
Oh, you are.
Yeah. What was the last one you got banned for? I don't even know.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
They never actually, like, tell you definitively.
Oh, that's a bummer. At least you want to know why you did it. What happened?
It was around the time that Buttigieg was calling the manager on people who called him a rat.
Oh,
so
no.
I got a notification that someone complained that I called him McKinsey Rat Boy. But then also my username at the moment was Tom Perez, Rat Mode Tom Perez.
Yeah. He looks like a rat too.
And he does look like a rat. And I think it might have been the username. I'm not sure, but it was very clearly triggered by someone in the Buttigieg camp getting mad at people. A lot of people were getting notifications that their tweets were being reported for the rat stuff.
What a bunch of petty bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well yeah, cool. No. You got some?
No, you know you're running a serious presidential campaign when you're whining to the fucking Twitter mods.
Yeah, exactly. Mods, talk to the manager. Bloomberg ran a fucking ad on the Bernie Bros too, which is ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah, I was disappointed I didn't see my tweet screen cap for those. Like, I got to step it up.
Yeah, I got to step. Yeah, I wasn't on there either, but I'm not a high level shit poster like that most of the time. Anyway.
Yeah. It's a brain disease. So.
Yeah. I know.
Bloomberg's not wrong about that, but also fuck him. And
yeah,
I'm going to call him a fucking piss head online.
Good. His head is full of piss.
Yeah. He's got a piss skull.
Yeah. Of course he does.
Like a bag of piss.
Big old piss bag. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Check out the Sentinel. Follow Sam on Twitter. And you can listen to Good Morning Comrade on Tuesdays on WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. You can also check out our website, goodmorningcomrade.com. Thank you so much for listening. Love you. Bye.